Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we have a Carolina story to share with you.
Oh, cool. I have a great Carolina story, too.
Oh, yeah? What's it about?
Well, barbecue, mostly.
Okay, Patrick, we had another opportunity to do an interview on the podcast, and here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And this was really interesting because this was a group that I was not previously familiar with.
Nope.
The publicist reached out, said, would you be interested in interviewing this duo? And I listened to their stuff, and I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it, because it sounded good. And also, you know, it seemed like their influences and the kinds of bands that they cited that they like seem to line up with what we like, and so
totally,
you know, why not give a young band a shot, right?
I think and we may I may say this repeatedly during the interview, or at least several times, imagine me repeating myself, but we said, hey, our community is going to really like the music you guys are making, so we felt like it was a really good fit. And I gotta say, one of the members was wearing a KISS t-shirt during our interview, so that was pretty exciting.
So the band we talked with is Carolina Story, and they are essentially a duo. I mean, they tour with a larger group when they're out touring, but essentially a duo, husband and wife team of Ben and Emily Roberts. And we talked with them from their home near Nashville, and they were just delightful, weren't they?
Absolutely. It was so fun. And one of those things where, you know, you feel like, hey, we agreed, we talked to the publicist, hey, we'll do, you know, we'll do half hour.
Right.
And then suddenly the time just flying by and you're having a great conversation. So that's always a great sign.
Yeah. We talked for like an hour. It was great.
Yeah. And it was really cool.
And it was really fun. And they just seemed like really fun and interesting people, and so I had a blast with that, and I have really enjoyed this album. So if you have not heard Carolina Story, they have a new album out called Dandelion. It just came out on September 4th, and you know, it's Americana, I guess, is, you know, probably the simplest way to describe it, but you'll hear in the interview they have some rock background and, you know, some other stuff. They're like a lot of musicians we meet. They have a lot of interest. They're not just driving in one lane, right?
Right, right, totally. And I think that's another thing that our listeners are going to enjoy about this.
Okay, so I think everyone should meet Ben and Emily, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Ben Roberts, Emily Roberts, Carolina Story, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. How are you guys?
We're good. Thank you for having us.
Doing well.
Oh, thank you for doing it. We really appreciate you guys taking some time to chat with us. It means a lot.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
You guys, new album is called Dandelion, and as we're recording this, it's just about to come out. So when the listeners hear this, it'll just been
recently
been released. But as we're recording, this is like the week of release. So what is it like when you have an album ready to go and you're just waiting for it to finally come out for people to hear it, right?
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, it's been done since last year. So to finally be nearing the release, I mean, it feels like a long time coming.
Doesn't feel real. Yeah, I was actually on the phone with my sister earlier today, and she was like, man, we were talking about it being release week, and she was like, I feel like I've lived with these songs so long. I was like, you think you've lived with them long, you know? So no, we're just super excited. You know, we've released 4 songs so far, and we've been really, really, really thankful for the response to them, and just really can't wait for everyone to hear the entire thing, you know, as we meant it to be, you know, heard. So really looking forward to that.
That's cool. How do you measure the response these days? What is that like? It's not like the old days of, like, you know, one single coming out before an album and it would get radio airplay and go up the charts. It's kind of different now. Everything is about social media, right? And getting it out through those channels, right?
For sure.
And I mean, you know, 2020 is a unique year. So even that in itself has been a learning curve for sure. But yeah, I mean, releasing it and, you know, hoping people go to all those streaming services and check them out is a big part of it.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately it is a bit of a numbers game, you know, you have to look at that, you know, I think more so now. It's not a numbers game. It's just, you know, but we've been really pleased with the response from, like, different playlists, like the Indigo playlist on Spotify and different things that have really, they put out, you know, they put 3 of the songs we've released on the playlist, and the response has been really good. It's, you know, our song Dandelion is, I think, you know, in the top 10 there on that list, and just those little things that we've never really experienced before. I mean, that may not be anything to some people, but for us, just knowing that the music's being heard more is everything. And, you know, we would have been playing some of these songs live, you know, to gauge the audience's reaction. And that's always such a fun thing of putting new music out. And, you know, we and everyone else has been sort of robbed of that.
Totally.
And so anyway,
getting back to playlists real quickly, I will tell you guys this little story, which is that I created my own playlist this year called This Is 2020. And it is all, it's not necessarily songs from 2020, but it's all songs that sort of reflect maybe what we're going through, right? So there's like protest songs on there, or there's songs about isolation, or, you know, whatever. Kind of like the feeling of this year just being really, you know, bizarre, right? And a strange experience for everyone. And today I added the song Dandelion. So you got that playlist going for you right there.
And, thank you. We appreciate it.
But there's something really prescient about that song, right? I mean, you couldn't have known when you were writing it that this song about resilience would just be perfect for its time.
Totally.
Well, the whole album, you know, that's the whole theme. You know, Emily, one night about a year and a half ago, I mean, Emily just, she said the word dandelion. I don't know if we had read it somewhere or something, and she started talking about it.
Yeah, and I just said I think it's a really beautiful word to be sung. And so it kind of just, you know, snowballed from there. And then we were just talking more about the dandelion, how a lot of people see it as a weed and try to get rid of it, but actually it's got a lot of nutritional value to it. And
you can eat it.
Yeah.
Drink it.
And then just the childhood nostalgia to it too, the blowing and making wishes. And
you see it everywhere.
Yeah.
You
know? We just felt like I feel like we kind of, that's always been our theme throughout our music too. Just that hope and,
the underdog mentality a bit, you know, and, so once Emily said dandelion, you know, it was like, oh man, it sings well. So wrote the song Dandelion with my buddy Justin Shipper, who played pedal steel on our last album. I didn't even know he wrote songs, but anyway, and we wrote that song, and then it was like we knew we had our theme moving forward, and you know, it was applicable then, but even more so now. Yeah. You know, it's like, it definitely has that feeling to it where we recorded it in November when the world was already crazy. But, you know, and then little did we know it would really be challenged. So we feel like the songwriting was a bit, I don't know, it was a, we're not seers or anything, but, you know.
No, right.
There was some foreshadowing there for sure.
It's really nice. I mean, you know, first of all, I like the imagery, you know, that you bring up about the dandelion even grows through like cracks in the concrete, yep, right?
You totally. Know,
just yeah. that idea yeah. that nothing's going to hold us back. And then you have the line in there, we'll be fine, just like a dandelion. And I just think that's something that I think a lot of people right now could just from that one line, you know, take some hope.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, and not to dwell, but the song was actually written during the immigration crisis, all that stuff going on. Mm. And just that was what really, after Emily and I had that conversation about the dandelion and its resilience and endurance. And, you know, we saw, you know, just those images of kids and families in cages and stuff. So we wrote it from that standpoint. So it's anyway, I just wanted to note that because yeah, that's where the genesis of it came from.
And it's amazing to me. It seems like one of those songs that, you know, like Jim was saying, just fits a lot of different stuff. Because to me, when I was listening to it, dandelions always remind me of spring around here in Virginia when it's like, man, finally stuff is growing again. And that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, let's just try to get through the next
four months.
Well, if we can somehow make it, then, you know, we'll be there. And so in that sense, you know, also a beacon of hope, which is kind of cool, too.
Yeah,
For sure.
Talk a little bit more about that, if you guys wouldn't mind. The songwriting process for this tune, was it one of those things that I always find it fascinating to ask people who have written great songs how they actually came about? I mean, was it one of those things you guys labored over, or was it kind of there already and you just channeled it, or how did it happen?
Yeah, what's funny is you, I think, had a different melody entirely.
Yeah, I had there's a song that's on our new album called Daylight. And we tried, that was the original dandelion. Like,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like the words we were trying to write dandelion set to that music. And,
which I can say that we've never probably done that before, where it was like a second take on a dandelion. Like it was like, we wanted to sing a song about it, but the first one just didn't feel right.
Yeah. So it didn't feel right. And like you said, Emily, you know, she sort of set the theme of the whole thing. It was like, once we came up with that title, we knew the album was going to be called that. So it was like, we have to write a song called that. And like I said, I teamed up with my buddy, Justin Shipper. And you know, the immigration stuff was going on, and it was like, he came in with this chord progression, and it was, if you could actually hear, you know, the original, it was so slow, and it was like the slowest song on like Ryan Adams, Jacksonville City Nights or something. Oh, wow. It was just like this slow country brooding thing. And
wow. You did play that for me just recently, that demo. And
yeah.
I listened to it
and was like, oh my God.
That's funny.
You know, and then we took it to Paul, our producer, and he was like, oh no, you know, it's, you know, if you know the drummer, our buddy Nathan, who played drums on the album, he never hits the cymbal at all in Dandelion. It's all on the hi-hat.
There's very little fills.
It's just so straightforward, and you know, for it to be a song that means so much emotionally, and sort of, you know, you're talking about just common man, you know, I mean, people that are downtrodden and are marginalized and pushed to the side, and that looks that takes so many shapes and forms, you know, but that's what the song is for, those people, you know, which, you know, that can be a band who's not touring now, that can be, you know, people who just moved here from Mexico, you know, it can be whatever it is. People who've lost their jobs, people that are LGBTQ. I mean, anything, you know, people of color, everything that's going on right now. I feel like Dandelion, really, we were blessed to write that song. I mean, it just feels, but it's happy. You know, it's like the music and stuff is like, it's a heavy subject, but, it's happy. So anyway, then it's hopeful, you know,
hopeful. I think that's the right word. I was going to say that
the spring, you know, spring, you talked about spring, and totally. So anyway,
it's very special. This is turning into the Dandelion Podcast.
Yeah,
ladies
that's right.
and gentlemen. We're not going to talk about that.
Well, let's
a moment from our sponsors.
Yeah, that's right.
Dandelion wine.
Yeah. It can't be like We'd Be Gone or anything. It's gotta be like wine. Yeah.
No. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to let Emily talk more.
Okay, so let's rewind a bit and talk about the band's history a little bit for people who aren't necessarily familiar with Carolina Story. So first off, the name. You all are not actually from the Carolinas, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
So tell us about
there,
that.
But no.
Yeah, we're Yeah, we're wanted, actually. We can't ever go back there.
Me too.
But no, Ben, when we met, we actually met in Memphis, Tennessee. We were both attending the same college. It was a small music school. And I was, doing a singer-songwriter thing, and you had a band you were in. And
it was a really bad band, by the way.
what kind of band was that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, let's don't go there.
It was melodic.
It was like melodic hardcore. Yeah. It was like post-hardcore. Like bands like my Thursday.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Taking Back Sunday kind of stuff. Under Oath.
Totally.
Yeah, so. But I also love Neil Young. So.
Well, that's, there you go.
But anyway.
Talking my language.
Yeah.
So, yes, you rescued me.
I
had been a whitewater rafting guide in North Carolina on the French Broad River and the Chattooga in Georgia and the Pigeon there in Tennessee, just in that little area, western North Carolina.
And
when I met him.
Yeah, I think music and love simultaneously happened with us. It was on that trip in North Carolina where he was showing me the, where he was a whitewater raft guide, and just we were camping for an entire week, and we just decided that, on that trip, let's write music together. And
I'm going to quit this band when I get back to Memphis and let's do it. I found out that her favorite artist was Brandi Carlile. So,
oh, wow.
We met on August 3rd, 2007 in a parking lot there and helped her. Sounds more scandalous than it is, but I helped her move a couch. But I found out that she loved Brandi Carlile, so I learned most of the Story album.
And, wow!
And was like, "Hey, I can play guitar well enough and sing in the background." And
yeah,
so that was kind of how we got going. And then we took that trip, and it was like, when we get back to Memphis, let's start this band, And she said Carolina Story, just kind of the genesis of the whole thing. So it stuck. We've been that for 12, 13 years. So it Amazing. Is what it is. Yeah.
Was this one of those, he was outside your window, Emily, kind of thing, singing the whole Brandi Carlile album, on his knees?
I do actually remember walking out of my dorm room and walking, down the sidewalk, and he was sitting on the ground with his back against the wall, and I think you were strumming it, like,
of course,
of,
I was, just that theme. I was providing theme music there for you, just walking. I had rented a sound system and everything. I'm just kidding.
That's a bold move, man.
Just kind of shelled out $850.
That is bold. Yeah,
can't afford Buffalo Wild Wings.
Spent it all in PA. Oh, yeah.
See, that's where the name comes from. It marks the beginning of the whole thing. So
very cool.
All right. So it's a happy name for you guys. It takes you back to a sort of a happy place, happy times in your life, right? Especially. Yeah. So that's nice.
Definitely.
Patrick has a couple of kids who live in North Carolina.
I do. Yeah. I have one in Wilmington and one in Durham now. So they like it.
Nice.
Love both of those areas.
Yeah. Very cool. So talk about the new album a little bit. It's, I was doing some comparative listening today. It's a little bit different than the debut album, right? It's definitely got some more texture, a little more growl to it, I would say. Like, where did all that kind of come from?
Yeah. This time around we decided to use our friends and bandmates that travel with us, and really know who we are as artists. And I think that is the difference between the two for me, is just knowing that the last album, we got the best of the best Nashville musicians to play on it. But this one, we wanted it to feel more, raw and have those moments. And
just real. I think once we met Paul too, our producer.
Yeah.
He has kind of a rock background.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. I mean, we identified immediately over like our love for just 90s music and alternative and bands like Nirvana and stuff and REM and, he really kind of turned us onto the Jayhawks, which we had never really dealt, taken a plunge into.
Yeah.
He pulled us in to his sort of like back kind of hang room where he has a record player, and he put on Rainy Day Music. And then He did. He put on Lucinda Williams' "World Without Tears" as well. Wow. Yeah. So it was like that was sort of his pitch. You know, he and I had been writing together a little bit, and we were loving the direction the songs were going, and we were clicking with Paul. And then I don't know. It was like that was his pitch, and then.
And then you bring in your friends who, you know, play in all the instruments too. I feel like it was a family more, you know, oriented, and we all.
Yeah, it was a family thing. And Paul really, I mean, Paul deserves a lot of credit. I think he really, you know, he was like, after that day we listened to those records, he was like, man, let's make a freaking album, like all the albums we love, just an album with a band that's playing all together in a room, you know, and let's really, you know, let's nail down the songs. And so we went through a list of songs that we had written over the course of about 2 years and really had matured, I think, from a songwriting standpoint. And really, I think for the first time, this album is our, I mean, it's not a full realization because who knows where it goes from here, but I think this is our most mature and something that I think we're the most proud of because we gave, everybody just gave their all, you know. And you know, Paul was playing in the room, you know, with us. Wow. He never was in the control room.
Oh, wow.
Unless there was some kind of sonic thing he needed to fix. He was either on the grand piano or the baby grand or the 12-string electric or the electric or the acoustic or the Rhodes. It was so cool. It was like a one unit kind of, you know.
That's get awesome. That energy.
Hit that button and let's see what we can capture, you know.
Yeah. Sounds like a Stones thing, right? That's what they used to do.
Right. That's what we set out to do. So
it's awesome.
All the records we love.
Totally.
Where does a strong man hide when he doesn't have the strength to stand anymore? He's grabbing that cold. Out into the rain, sparks of green. The water seeps into the cracks of his leather skin. The whistle blows in the distance, just like a northern wind. Always knows where it's going, but never where it's been.
I read that you would project films on the wall, or what was that? Tell me about a little bit about that, why you did that, and what that was all
wild.
About.
I think it was the roundup. I mean, we had done the first week with the band and did, as you know, many live vocal everything, and I think there was about 6 or 7 of those we didn't touch again, you know.
Yeah,
but then there were a few where we wanted our vocals another, you know, give them another emotional try, and that's when we then put the movies on the screen.
Yeah, when we were going back and doing just vocals, Paul has this big screen, you know, that pulls down and right behind the gong that actually didn't make it on the record.
Yeah.
But no, it was like that. He was like, yeah, we you know, we listen to movies or watch movies a lot here, and we were like, dude, well, while we're doing vocals, like, let's put on some movies that everyone gets a turn. Like,
yeah, your favorite movie.
Whatever your favorite movie is, and then it morphed into like the context of the lyrics. It was also, I think, December when we were doing this, January. So we had everything from "It's a Wonderful Life" to "National Treasure" to Indiana Jones to crazy Jackie Chan.
Nice.
Yeah, it was just, it was crazy. And that really just, I don't know, it was like you would get into the character a little bit more when you were singing. You
That's
know,
cool
you would
idea.
Look back
yeah.
at the movie.
I love that.
And you would just sort of, you know, immerse yourself in that character or whatever. Not necessarily the one on the screen, but just the art, I don't know, of it.
Yeah.
It was like, it was an overload. So it was fun, man. It was just cool. Kept us on our toes, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's such a smart idea. I mean, you know, like when you come out of a movie theater from a movie you really like, you're kind of like in that vibe for a while, you know, you're like walking mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, you're in that
you're
world
in that way. Yeah, totally. Yes. Totally. I think that's so cool. Yeah.
So that's a great analogy or a great way to put it. Cause that's what it felt like, you know, it
yeah.
felt like you
such a smart idea. I think more bands should probably do that.
I know. Really I mean, you need to start putting the projector into the budget.
You know? There you go. That's right. Yeah.
Just as important as the mixing, you know?
Yep. We're going to need a Netflix subscription and Prime Video as well.
Exactly.
Got to be in there. Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I think there's something definitely to that. I think there's something to your surroundings that give yeah. you a certain feeling that then comes mm-hmm. out in the sound you
totally.
Produce, right?
So totally. Yeah.
For sure.
I was going to ask, Ben, what kind of songwriter are you? Are you, you know, the kind of guy that says, hey, I'm going to go from 10 to 12, you know, and lock myself in a room with my acoustic guitar and write, you know, no matter what? Or are you just like, I'm doing something, I'm in the shower, whatever inspiration, I got to write it down then? How does it work for you?
Man, this guy is a well. I mean, I feel like at all times there's a guitar strapped on his body.
Oh, really?
And I would say, you know, it was about, how long has it been now since we have a publishing deal, which is brand new for us in the sense of writing.
Cause we never co-wrote or any of that stuff.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
Yeah. You know?
And, you know, and so for Ben, I think it was always a spontaneous the way you used to write, but now it's been a little bit more on that schedule, which structured. Also makes sense as a father and
yeah,
with kids.
Yeah.
I right. feel like you have to chisel out that time more than yeah, you used totally. To.
Yeah. I mean, and we, you know, we took a publishing deal too, because we need to keep food on the table. Yeah. So like,
right.
But that's really grown my songwriting.
Yeah.
Cause I was always so just sort of dome. Like I kept everything to myself and I had to be the one that was writing it all. And
you're a perfectionist.
And it was a rough, but I think that held me back a lot, you know? Yeah. So I think by collaborating more and opening myself to that a little bit, and sure, mm-hmm. it's every co-write's not going to yield what you want it to,
of course,
you know,
yeah.
or
yeah.
a great song, but
it might.
It's a stepping stone, you know, and that's the way I viewed it. And it's really, I think it's really helped open my eyes and just my it's helped me mature, you know,
approach to writing as well.
Yeah.
You know, just to see other people's way they write
or people can get you out of
a
pinch. You know, yep. A lot of times I'll get stuck on something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have, you know, a chorus and a verse, you know, but I can't move past that. So, a lot of the songs on Dandelion, I think Emily and I wrote three, maybe four outright, but otherwise it was co-written, and cool. That was that's the first foray into that for us. Mm-hmm. So it's been really I'm really excited about. I continue to do it, and it's you know, I mean, there's song. I wrote a song with a guy named, you know, Pat McLaughlin on there. I mean, he was John Prine's right hand man.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been able to write with some really talented mm-hmm. people, and I mean, you know, songs that you wouldn't have otherwise. So
yeah. There's a couple good songwriters in Nashville, right?
I don't know. Maybe,
there's one or two, man. I tell you what. I mean, you know, I'm just never going to get jaded to that whole songwriter thing. And that, I mean, the talent level is insane. And yeah, there's a lot of people that do stuff that that isn't in your lane. But you, mm-hmm. I think once you start to find those those people, I mean, I think it can be a huge benefit. We're very lucky to be here.
We'll be fine. Just like a dandelion, we'll be fine.
Okay, that was part one of our interview with Carolina Story, Ben and Emily Roberts, and they were such great people, and it was really fun to talk with them and
totally
have a great spirit, I think, to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's really always super fascinating to me to hear origin stories mm-hmm. and how people work and what they did to make themselves full-time musicians and the things they do and the decisions they make. I just endlessly fascinating. So it was great. And they were so open and honest with us about every question we had. It was really, really a great talk.
Yep. So here's what you can do. You can go check out their album. It's on the streaming services. It's called Dandelion. Check that out. You can also visit carolinastory.com, which is their website. And, you know, then they're on all the normal social media stuff, Facebook and so on. Facebook, Twitter, all that. So, you know, check them out. And hopefully, you know, somewhere down the line, they will be out touring and you can go see them live.
Excellent. And, you know, as I said, I think on one of the new music episodes, right, here's a fairly young band, guys, that we can get in on the ground floor with. So that's right. We're always pretty looking close for those. That's right.
Okay, so tomorrow we're going to have part two of the interview. So check us out for that. Get a good night's sleep. Come back in the morning. And listen to part two of our interview with Carolina Story.
That's right.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Ours is a Carolina story. It rings clearer than a bell. It's got all that pain and glory. It's my favorite one to tell. I knew right from the beginning it would stand the test of time. I ain't worried about the ending. It's Carolina, rain or shine.
You didn't ask him the barbecue question like you did.
No, now I'm pissed.
Because they're in Tennessee, too. It would have been great. Like,
I know.
How would you compare?
You know? I know.